Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
It's the S, the L, the I, the M. Let me tell you what I wanna do. Let me show you that I feel to you. Wanna freak, wanna ride with you. Wanna taste when I put my lips all over you.
Welcome everybody to On the Double with the
Double S Express.
Sean Wally with Sean Boyd, all the way in Hartford, Connecticut. What's going on, Sean?
Man, well, you know, this is the first time in a long time that this has happened. Actually, the first time ever that the both of us are coming from the same spot on the East Coast, Hartford, Connecticut. Man, it's a little cool on this side of the country, but it sure is beautiful, Sean Wally.
Man, that's right. The first time you and I have been together since, wow, October, maybe all the way back to August?
Yeah. So, it's been a while, but of course, you and I, we have some business to tend to, you know, changing lots of lives and making people smile. It's a great feeling, man.
Absolutely. So you're getting some training as a public address announcer for one of the world's most known basketball teams, and you're about to embark not only on your own show, but your own tour.
Yeah, so, you know, getting a chance to be on your tour here and learning a lot of great things from, you know, the person who's training me, Jared Lewis. And, man, hats off to you, my brother. And, of course, Sean Wally, we will be leaving your tour to start my tour. And, my goodness, man, we get to leave the East Coast. And then we're heading to Puerto Rico. I know that that's something that you're just like, oh, my goodness, it sucks to be me. And I hear you, man. You know, heading to Puerto Rico, who could do that? You know, but I'm glad that I'm getting the chance to do that. And it's going to be a lot of fun, Sean Wally.
So could you have imagined this a couple of months ago that you would not only be a public address announcer for one of the world's most famous basketball teams, but not only that, but you've worked the Super Bowl. And here you are about to embark on your own tour hitting Puerto Rico, an international country, and then up and down the East Coast, sharing the love of PA announcing and basketball.
Yeah, you know, I can just attest that to being truly blessed, man. That's all that is. I've shared the story with many of my friends and family on what it took to actually get this door to open. And all I can tell you is to, you know, just be positive. Be positive in everything you do. Your positive thinking, your positive talk, and doors will start to open. I know that for some of you who don't really believe that, try it. Because I'm telling you that when you start to talk positive things into your life, when you start to talk positive things into other people's lives, that and only then will you be truly blessed. And when I started doing that before getting the Globetrotters position, you know, things started lining up in the place, man. And that's all I could attest that to, Sean.
You know, and that's what I did more than a year ago, took that leap of faith, that jump, as Steve Harvey calls it. And I tried to get you to do that in the last year and a half, and finally you decided, let's walk up to that cliff and take that leap, make that jump, and look what's going on. You're a few days away from going to Puerto Rico, Sean Boyd.
You know, just a few days away from starting my own tour, a few days away from continuing to do what I've always wanted to do. This is one of my dreams, and, you know, to have, you know, my family back me, my wife back me, you know, the whole nine. That speaks volumes because, again, because of that, everybody around me, I believe, is going to truly prosper in this. And, you know, just allow ourselves, we have to allow ourselves to just move forward, like you're saying, and, you know, going forward and not thinking anything about it. Like you were saying about Steve Harvey, you know, taking that, you know, us taking that jump and taking that leap. When you do that, Sean, there's no safety net. there's no safety net involved. But once you start to make that move forward and your chute opens, that's when life begins. That's when things start to happen for you. That's when more doors start to open for you. That's when you just sit there and sit in amazement and say, I don't know how I got here, but because I believed it and because I spoke it, then it's so. And so, man, I am so excited, Sean Wally, to be on this tour with you. I'm so excited to embark on the new journey with the Harlem Globetrotters. I'm so excited about, because I'm taking that leap forward, that tomorrow looks greater to me than it did a couple of months ago. And so that's exciting.
Well, somebody that knows about taking risks and taking chances and taking that leap is with us now on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines. And let's welcome in big time guest number one tonight, and that is Rob Dibble of the Rob Dibble Show in Hartford, Connecticut. Former Major League Baseball pitcher, former Nasty Boy World Series champion. Rob, thanks for your time tonight.
Guys, great to be with you.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base on an awesome job that you did as far as filling in with the World All-Stars in the Harlem Globetrotters, man. It was good to see you.
It was fun. You know, grew up loving the Harlem Globetrotters, getting an opportunity to just spend some time on the floor with them and the World All-Stars is, you know, I guess if I did have a bucket list, that would be right up there on things that I wanted to do in my lifetime. So that was very cool.
Well, we appreciate having you on the show here. And of course, you being from Bridgeport, Connecticut. So it was great to, you know, I'm sure you had lots of family and friends out there to support you.
Oh, I did. And again, there's much in love with the Globetrotters as they did want to see me do, you know, a couple of minutes out there on the floor. I mean, I think, you know, one of the coolest thing is about the Globetrotters in 90 years is it's another generation of kids that not just fall in love with the Globetrotters, but the game of basketball. And I think that's the best part about coming to an event like that.
Rob, what were you thinking as you were going through the motions and being a player with the World All-Stars, a guest player there, and being involved in the Harlem Globetrotter game?
Well, I mean, Sean, you look at all the history involved, and, you know, I guess from my standpoint, going all the way back to, you know, years when the Globetrotters used to have guys traveling around with them, and Fergie Jenkins comes to mind, you know, Hall of Fame pitcher, good friend of mine, you know, Canadian-born guy, and I'm sure that was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for him to cross over. And at any time that you get to go do something with another sport when you're known for, you know, being a Major League Baseball player and all that kind of stuff, I mean, it's been probably one of the best parts of the 18 years I've been doing radio and television is events like the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals or the NHL Finals and the Stanley Cup and covering events like that. And people be like, well, what are you doing here? You're a former baseball player. But, you know, we all grow up loving sports in this country, and that's what I think binds us. And so it doesn't matter that I played baseball. There's a certain respect that goes along with everybody that's gotten to the top. You feel blessed, and it, you know, you all feel in that you're in a small fraternity. Because there's very few guys that ever get to that level. You know how many people try, but very few are able to attain that highest level.
So, Rob, what does that say about you and what you've done in your life to be able to not only get to the highest level in Major League Baseball, but get to the pinnacle and win a championship with the Cincinnati Reds?
Well, I've lived two lives. I mean, you know, playing 13 years as a pro baseball player and winning championship in the major leagues, part of a team, the first National League team, and the oldest team with the Cincinnati Reds to be in first place the entire year and then win the World Championship was exciting. But, you know, again, I was listening to you guys when I was on hold, and, you know, life's a journey. And, you know, you never know when you're starting out young playing a sport and playing it because you love playing it that it's going to lead to maybe a college scholarship and pro baseball and then one day the major leagues. You don't even think in the back farthest recesses of your mind that, oh, yeah, I'm going to be in the World Series at 26 years old and actually win it. And then 25 years later, go back to the to Cincinnati, be a part of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and all this kind of stuff. So for me, you know, there's many times I'll go back in my life and go, you know, had I gone in a different direction and not followed my dreams and followed my heart where I felt I should go, who knows where I would have ended up. So a lot of times I think when people are telling you you can't do something, you know, you have to basically tell yourself and force yourself down a path that not a lot of people are willing to take. And for me, it's been able to pay off not just once, but twice. I mean, now I've been doing radio and television for 18 years, way longer than I played in the major leagues, you know, twice as long as I played in the major leagues, as a matter of fact. So I've been blessed twice in my life. I have three strong kids that are healthy and two have graduated college already. So for me, it's been a good ride for me.
Rob Dibble joining us here on the double. Rob, now we're talking about the journey, and you're talking about how you've been blessed twice. And I want to talk about the radio portion, because, you know, that is a huge leap of faith. Of course, your father being a huge radio person and a Hall of Famer, you know, for that matter. And now here you are 20 years later doing the same thing. Was that a scary step to take?
My dad was, you know, going back to Hogan's Heroes, used to work with Bob Crane. I mean, he was old school, wore a tie to do radio in the 50s, one of the original teachers of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and many people that I work with today in Connecticut, and my life's come full circle where I worked at ESPN, I worked at Sirius XM, worked at Fox Cable, and then came back home to do, you know, local iHeart Radio and ESPN. You know, in my backyard where my dad did it for 50 years. A couple of things. There's a lot of pressure that I feel. I also feel that he's with me when I'm doing a lot of my stuff and watching over me. My dad passed away in 1997, and it was a difficult time in my life. I was making that transition from baseball into the broadcast industry, and I didn't even know if I wanted to keep doing it. And here we are 18 years later, and I'm still doing it. So, you know, for me, I was always Walt Dibble's kid. It was always cool to you know, go to all these different events and stuff like that. And before I came out with you guys, I was at an event for one of our sister stations here locally, 92.5. It was a huge country charity event for St. Jude's here, you know, on the Eastern Seaboard. And they've raised nearly $300,000, you know, for these children. And so, you know, through the power of radio, we still realize that 87% of the country listen to radio every day. Again, it was another good choice in my life to follow this instead of going a different direction. And I think that, you know, my dad was alive long enough to see me make the transition from baseball player to radio and television. And I know that he'd be happy I'm still doing it.
Man, Rob, you and I have a similar walk when it comes to that experience. Of course, I lost my father last year around this time. And, of course, becoming a part of the Harlem Globetrotters, I'm sure that he would definitely be smiling. I know that he's smiling down. And, of course, you doing your thing, 97.9 in ESPN Radio in Hartford, Connecticut. And you are right there in the middle. So you are batting cleanup. I see the list on ESPN Radio. And, man, just like baseball, man, you're batting cleanup, which you're at the height of the day when your show comes on. Kudos to you, man.
Thank you. And it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I've had great support. We have eight other stations with our cluster in Connecticut. You have so many. We're so sports rich around here, and maybe sometimes people get a little spoiled with all the championships from the Yankees and now the Red Sox, but you have the Bruins and the Rangers and the Celtics and the Knicks, and then you got the Giants, Bills, and the Jets, and then the Patriots. So there's something for everybody, I guess, is where I'm going with that, is that, you know, there's so many different sports, so much fun. We cover local sports. We cover the Travelers Golf Championship here, you know, come July. We also have the ATP, which is down in New Haven, Yale. We have the Walter Camp Awards, which we cover as well. for the best college football player. So, you know, ranging from college sports and high school sports all the way up to the major sports, there's never a dull moment. I mean, even today, you know, you had the Daytona 500 on. Joey Logano from Connecticut won it last year. You know, we talked to him last year, then this year. I had Kenny Wallace on my show, and he was talking about he had just retired from it and what it's like to basically go through his 20 years and now going into the broadcast business. And he's a huge baseball fan. So you've got NASCAR people talking baseball and baseball people talking to NASCAR people. It every day is a lot of fun. So it's to me, again, you know, coming back home, being in a great market. It's not one of the biggest markets in the country, but it sure is a lot of fun.
Rob Dibble joining us from 979 ESPN and the Rob Dibble Show. Rob, what was that transition like for you personally, going from the major league pitcher's mound, winning championships, to all of a sudden you're having to figure out what to do after baseball?
First, I wanted to be a cop. I was actually studying to take the state police exam because I was retired at 30. And I've always been, I have one brother who's a fireman, my other brother was in the military in the Navy, and he was on a submarine. And so I was always into pensions since I have a full pension from baseball. And I figured, you know, if I get into, you know, be a cop for 20 years, I get another full pension, and then I can retire at 52 years old. Well, things don't work out that way. So for me, when I was making the transition, I went from making $500,000 a year to $36 a month. The IRS didn't believe me. They audited me. And it was interesting because they were like, you know, there's no way anybody would, in their right mind, go from that much money to that little money. And I said, listen, my father was still alive, and he was, you know, big-time chief news guy at his radio station, and I wanted to be a DJ. And he's like, well, I don't want you to be a DJ. You know, I think it's easier to be a DJ than, and this was back in 1996, you know, he thought sports talk radio would be huge back then, and the only real big one around us was FAN in New York. So he sent me to a guy down where Howard Stern got his start at an old station called WLIS in Old Saybrook, Connecticut. And it's a small public radio station. The general manager said, I can't really offer you a big salary, but I can give you the midnight to six shift, and you can play all the music you want. You can run your own board, and you can learn from the ground up. And so that's what I did. It's essentially going back to the minor leagues. Like when I did it in baseball, you start in rookie ball, you move your way up every year, A, double A, triple A, then the big leagues. And I figured, well, you know, in about 4 or 5 years, I should be right where I want to be. And within a year, I got hired to do the Fox cable show. And I went from $36 a month to, you know, a multi-year deal with Fox, and I was off to the races.
Rob, what advice would you have for people in either the sports world or now what you've learned in broadcasting to whether or not they decide to take that leap and go for it and make that jump when they don't know what the end result may be?
Well, I mean, it's a great question because, you know, there's so many people that want to get into the business. So many people want to be on air. And if you really want to be on air, you know, as long as you're willing to maybe make some sacrifices along the way, maybe move, you know, shift from radio to television or to cable or anywhere in the industry. You know, Max Kellerman was a public television guy that was doing public access. There's many, many other guys that got their breaks doing public access. And, you know, for many years, you know, you keep thinking, why am I doing this? I'm not making any money or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the right person hears you or you go to the right audition and, you know, you can become a star overnight. So, again, you know, Ryan Seacrest, I would say the biggest attribute that he has is he's the hardest worker that you've ever seen. And you can't turn down too many job offers. You know, you can't keep saying no, no, no. Then people are going to stop asking you. So anytime you get an opportunity to maybe do another job, you might even think as small as this seems, maybe, because I can remember when I started doing color analyst work, I did a Babe Ruth championship for ESPN. Then I did some, you know, regional Little League games. You know, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we really like your work. You know, how about you work a major league game with Brent Musburger? So one day I'm working with somebody that nobody knew who the guy was, and now they're big, you know, big time people because I see them all over the industry when I started out back 20 years ago. And, you know, then a couple months after thinking, why am I doing these, you know, Babe Ruth All-Star games in Las Vegas or this Little League World Series game, you know, in River Falls, New Jersey, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, boom, now you're doing, the St. Louis Cardinals versus the Chicago Cubs. You know, then a year later, I'm following McGuire and Sosa around on television. So again, you know, I started really small and, you know, I wanted to be the best at every level, just like I did when I was playing minor league baseball. That the more I focused on where I was at instead of worrying about where I wasn't at, I think was the best attribute that I had going for me, and I always have. Because, again, I'm very satisfied being where I am, being in my own skin. Even right now, I'm having a lot of fun. I've never had this much fun. We do a lot of local shows. Even Friday, we're doing a show from Yale University. Last week, we're at Michael Jordan's at the Mohegan Sun. So, you know, I never know where I'm going to be week to week. I just know that there's people watching out for I guess, my well-being. And it's been that way. You always have to believe there's a bigger plan for you. You just can't get too greedy too soon.
Rob Dibble joining us here on The Double. Now, Rob, simple question. Do you miss baseball?
I miss the guys. More than anything, I miss, like I said, when we were at the All-Star game in Cincinnati, we have most of our 1990 team there, and then there were guys from other teams that I've grown to know and love over the years, like Raleigh Fingers and Fred Lynn and Luis Tiant and guys from other organizations that happen to be there, Dave Winfield, Ozzie Smith. And so we're all sitting around, and we're having a few adult beverages, and that's the best part about playing in the major leagues are the men and, you know, just being around them. They're, you know, they're gentlemen. It's kind of like, you know, today, like I said, you know, that I've met so many guys around NASCAR or hockey players and, you know, being in those locker rooms, being around these guys, and you're all in the same boat. You know, some guys might be making a little bit bigger change and their contract's a little bit bigger. But at the end of the day, they have the same struggles, the same insecurities, the same, self-doubt. And, you know, together, you know, you make teams. And that's how you win championships. So it's basically, there's a lot of fun, a lot of paranoia, a lot of, you know, maybe family fighting. But at the end of the day, you are one big family. And it's a very small fraternity. So that's probably what I miss most. The injuries and the stuff at the end of my career made me not want to try to compete at that level. It's a young man's game, and it's very fleeting. And I have a lot of respect for guys that can, play up to where they're almost 40 years old, like a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady. You know, those guys are one in a billion. They don't just happen right along every lifetime. I mean, there's very few guys that can stretch a career like that, not only be successful, but not get injured so much to where they can't play into their 30s.
Now, Rob, I have to believe that, you know, with you and your broadcasting career now, that broadcasters are somewhat competitive as well. And I'm sure there's, you know, that rancor, if you will, of trying to be number one or trying to be the best show. Do you see the similarities from being in broadcasting to actually playing?
Well, I mean, at this point, a lot of stuff is based on ratings, and as long as I'm kicking the crap out of the other sports show in town, I'm very happy with that. other than that, the marketing people, sales people, they've made a lot of money promoting the show, and the brand ESPN carries a lot of weight, even if it's a local show like this, and we're the only 4 hours of live broadcasting in this market. The rest of it's Mike and Mike and Dan Lebatard. Russillo and Canal. I mean, so, when you break it down at the end of the day, every day is a good day that you're employed. Every day is a great day when you're able to work, especially the office that I work in right now. Like I said, I was at a charity event tonight. Every radio station was represented, even though it was 92.5, a country station, the top 40, the urban station, our sports station, every station was represented. Every boss was there. Every big sales boss was there. You know, and we pull for each other. It's like a big family. So, again, You know, the competition, I guess, would be the ratings. But as far as, you know, the sales, it was, I think, the first time in a long time that every sales for every station hit their budgets. So it was just like we won a World Series last year. And not every year is going to be that great. But when it is that great, I mean, we had a party at the end of the year. And it is basically, you know, everybody's contributing from the sales all the way to the marketing, all the way to all the other people that are, you know, pushing, you know, the product and getting people to want to put you, you know, on their stations and stuff like that. That's what makes it all worthwhile. At the end of the day, we're out there to entertain the listeners. You know, it's afternoon drive for me. I'm trying to entertain so that people can get to where they're going and have a smile on their face.
Now, Rob, as a former Major League Baseball pitcher, reliever, and heck, you know, World Series champion, what do you think of the state of Major League Baseball today?
It's never been stronger. Never been stronger. I think that, you know, some of the injuries over the years to football, the CTE scandal over the last few years, have pushed better athletes towards baseball and basketball. And you're just seeing guys that are so athletic. I mean, it's beautiful. The NBA is thriving because of it. You know, Major League Baseball is thriving because of it. You know, 21, 22-year-old guys like Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant, and, you know, all the great pitchers on the New York Mets and, you know, all the players around Major League Baseball from the Marlins to the Astros. You know, when you see talent like that, you know, that you're getting more kids that are coming back to baseball. And I think, especially in the inner city, I mean, 30 years ago, almost 30% of the major leagues was African-American, and it's dwindled below 10%. I think one of the biggest goals Major League Baseball has right now is getting more kids involved in the inner city, the RBI program. You know, and with that, I mean, right now, the big change over the last 30 years is the Latin American players. That's now over 30% of the major leagues. There's more and more guys that are coming from Cuba, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. And, you know, again, I don't want to be greedy and say, well, this is America's pastime, but it is America's pastime. And the state of the game has to get back to the younger generation wanting to love it. It's not an easy game. You got to find a bunch of guys if you want to just go play a pickup game. You know, basketball, you can get two-on-two. You can even have a one-on-one, and you're still going to have fun. You know, baseball, even if you want to have a home run derby, you still have to have somebody throwing, someone hitting, probably somebody out there in the outfield. You know, you have to have more organized places for these kids to play. And I think we're starting to get more fields built back in the inner cities. We're getting more kids involved. But the future looks great. Rob Manfred, the new commissioner, is fantastic. He gets it. He gets that, you know, kids are in the social networking world and the Instagram and the you know, the Twitterverse and all that kind of stuff. You know, they put new uniforms out there. They put cooler looking stuff. You know, they've changed the way they vote for the All-Star game and things like that. So, you know, they understand that the game's only going to be as good as this next generation falling in love with it.
Now, Rob, you had a great run with the Cincinnati Reds, and you told me over the weekend one of your best buddies through your baseball career was Norm Charlton, and a guy that in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle we know very, very well. What are some great stories that you can share that maybe you can't share on your own radio show because of the FCC? But hey, we're online, so anything goes here on the double.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, Sean. Norm and I, he came to the Reds via trade, and it's probably one of the worst trades ever, maybe for the Houston, for the Montreal Expos. He was a first-round pick. I was a first-round pick. 3 years into my career with the Reds organization, we get this kid from the Expos camp for Wayne Krzemczyk. And he comes over very polished, almost ready for the major leagues, 3 degrees from Rice University, very, very bright guy. And we hit it off famously. We actually roomed together minor leagues, major leagues for 7 straight years. Well into where we were making enough money where we didn't have to enjoy each other's company, but we still wanted to. We loved hanging out in the off season, fishing, hunting, stuff like that. We had so many things in common, yet he was from Texas. I'm from Connecticut. You know, and that's another beautiful part of Major League Baseball and pro baseball is you get people from everywhere. Like, I'm best friends with Eric Davis. He grew up in South Central. You know, I'm best friends with Norm, who's from Texas. You know, best friends from Joe Oliver, who's from Orlando, Florida. And, you know, when you put us all together and you kind of, you know, force different cultures on each other, you know, great things can happen, bad things sometimes happen, but mostly great things can happen. And we've been lifelong friends. We've seen each other's ups and downs. We've both been through divorce. He's been through two of them. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about trying to make those teams we played for successful. Lou Piniella, who managed that team that won 116 games, he was an amazing manager. You know, I've told people over the years, he was one of the first managers that personally went guy to guy to guy. So one, you know, moment he'd go and talk to Norm, you know, how's your life going? Is everything, you know, strong, your marriage, all that kind of stuff? You know, you need anything? He'd come to me. He'd say the same thing. He'd say, do you need anything? Do you need some time? Are you having some marital issues, anything? Do you need to go straighten something out before the game? So he wanted you to always take care of you and your personal life first, and knowing that baseball would always be there at the end of the day, and you could come back and be there before the game started, stuff like that. Most managers would never do that. You know, most managers would not be, some never even came out of their offices until batting practice. Didn't even want to be out there. You know, we were very blessed. We had Tony Perez. Tony Perez had his locker in with the players because he wanted to be socializing with the players and understanding what was going on in their world. And it's always changing, you know, and that's the one thing. Going back to Norm, you know, I didn't know him from anything, but you know what I knew is that this guy wanted to be where I wanted to be. And once we started working out together, you know, doing extra work after spring training, you're in spring training right now, you know, end of the day, a lot of guys want to go golf and stuff like that. You know what Norm and I used to do? We'd go do some more running. They're like, listen, you know, we're not great golfers. You know, we could hunt and fish anytime we want. You know, we've got a very short shelf life as far as baseball goes. And why don't we go do some more work as far as our craft? And I think, you know, that paid off for Norm and I. I can't say that that's the way it goes for everybody else. But, you know, then all of a sudden, Jose Rijo started running with us after the workouts. Then Joe Oliver started running with us and Tom Browning. And when we traded for Danny Jackson, all of a sudden, now we've got like 15 guys after the workout, and the coaches are like, are we not working you guys hard enough? We're like, no, it's not that. You know, we bonded, and, you know, it was like we'd rather be around each other working towards a common goal than do anything else away from the field. And that's, again, you know, it was a very rare case and a beautiful thing. And, again, that's probably what I miss the most about the game.
Man, Rob, we are definitely enjoying the information that you're giving us, and our listeners, I'm sure, are gaining great knowledge as far as what it takes to not only just to build a franchise, but to build camaraderie as a team. And man, this is some awesome stuff.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, guys. Anytime you want me to come back, I'd be more than welcome to.
Now, with that being said, of course, with spring training upon us, any predictions here on which team is going to be a front runner or who looks to take the jump here?
Everybody loves the Cubs, but more so than the Cubs pitching staff, I give the edge to the Mets pitching staff again. You're getting Zach Wheeler back, and you're going to put Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Matt Harvey, Zach Wheeler, and Steven Matz out there on any given day, you're going to have some of the best pitchers in the major leagues. And if one of them falters, you still got old man Bartolo Colon. So, you know, the Cubs have a great team. You got the Cardinals will have another great team. Same with the Pirates and the American League. You know, you look at Toronto Blue Jays scored the most runs in Major League Baseball last year. You know, can their pitching staff help them and get them back there? You know, a lot of teams spent a ton of money. The Arizona Diamondbacks spent $200 million on one pitcher. The Boston Red Sox spent $200 million on one pitcher. The Giants spent, you know, $200 million on two pitchers in Samardzija and Johnny Cueto. So, you know, health is probably the biggest factor. You have Tanaka and CeCe Sabathia coming off of surgeries, coming back for the New York Yankees. You know, CeCe Sabathia had to go into alcohol rehab. So there's there's a lot of different scenarios that can happen. But again, once you start playing the game, I think by, you know, most general managers tell me by game 50, you know who's got the best teams and who still needs to make some trades at the All-Star break. But by game 50, if you don't know what kind of team you have, then you shouldn't be doing the general managing at the major league level. So there, you know, all 30 teams right now have hope, but I think that I think right now the Mets and the Cubs and the National League, and you know, it's pretty wide open in the American League right now.
Now, Rob, of course, there is a huge contingency in the Bay Area that believes that because this is an even year, and you had mentioned the San Francisco Giants making a couple of pitching moves, that the Giants feel that they win this Major League, the World Series every other year, and they're believing that this is it.
Well, again, the Giants are one of the best run organizations, from Brian Sabian all the way down to Bruce Bochy. You have one of the best catchers and pitching handlers in Buster Posey. And even though the Dodgers will spend $300 million, I don't see the Dodgers winning it. You know, the best thing that the Giants have done for many, many years is keep that foundation with Dave Rigetti as your pitching coach, Hensley Mullins as your hitting instructor, and, of course, Bruce Bochy as your manager. With that stability, it's like Greg Popovich in San Antonio in the NBA. It's like Bill Belichick for 15 years with the New England Patriots. So
good
few
point.
Teams understand that. You know, every 2 years we're going to change the manager because we don't like the way you know, if you keep doing that, you're never going to have stability. And so those teams, the reason why the Giants are competitive every year, the guys feel the stability. They go there. They're happy when they go there. They've signed some really good pitchers in the offseason and good players in the offseason. You know, that's the kind of stuff that makes somebody want to play there. And then, of course, at the end of the day, I think San Francisco's got one of the top three ballparks in Major League Baseball. So it's by far one of the best places you could ever play as a baseball player.
Rob Dibble of 979 ESPN, the Rob Dibble Show in Hartford, Connecticut, 3 to 7 p.m. Now, Rob, one of the guys you played with just got the axe this offseason in Seattle, Lloyd McClendon. A lot of our listeners from the Pacific Northwest and Northern California, do the Mariners or the A's have any chance of making any moves in the AL West?
Problem with the Mariners is last year I think they were 13th in offense and 12th in pitching. You know, you know, can you win another 14 games to get you to 90 wins? You finished with 76 last year. That's where you look, where you're going to find that. You know, what kind of run production are you going to get? What kind of pitching are you going to get? You got Iwa Kuma back, which is a really good thing because I think he's one of the better starting pitchers in the major leagues. But, you know, after King Felix and Iwa Kuma, you know, now you really got to see who the third, fourth, and fifth guy is in your rotation, who your bullpen is, and, again, try to score enough runs to be competitive. That's one of the most wide-open divisions, though. You know, both Oakland and I thought Seattle had off years last year. Angels definitely had an off year. The Astros had an up year. I don't know. Now the Astros have a target on their back, how good they're going to be. There's a lot of pressure on them. And, of course, Texas is always seems to pull it out near the end and come up with a lot of big wins, even with a managerial change in recent years. So, again, Seattle and Oakland, as long as, you know, they – here's the thing. People may think, well, you don't have the best names and the best stars and quality. In baseball, it doesn't matter. If you get guys that all of a sudden they have career years at the same time and your young guys contribute, and then maybe you call up guys or you trade for guys at the trade deadline and into August, you've got an opportunity. And with the two wild cards in each division, you still, like last year, three teams came out of the National League Central. You know, you could have three teams come out of the American League West. It's definitely a possibility.
Rob, final question for you. Did you learn anything from your experience as a guest player with the World All-Stars and the Harlem Globetrotters on Saturday night in Hartford, Connecticut?
I learned that I made the right decision 30 years ago to play professional baseball. As far as basketball goes, that, like I said, again, A, having speed, agility, athleticism, or being 7'4" helps in basketball, but I just never was a great shooter. I could defend, and I had some decent speed, but I have to look back when I was 18 years old that I made the right decision and sticking with baseball and not playing more basketball.
Rob Dibble, pleasure to meet you Saturday night in Hartford at the XL Center. Thanks so much for joining us with the Harlem Globetrotters and the World All-Stars. You can follow Rob on Twitter at RobDibble49 and at Rob Dibble Show 979 ESPN in Hartford, Connecticut. Rob, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Rob.
Guys, thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Thanks again, Rob. There goes Rob Dibble of 97.9 ESPN in Hartford, Connecticut. Former Major League Baseball player Rob Dibble for the Reds, Milwaukee Brewers, Chicago White Sox. It's a pleasure having him on, Sean Wally.
Absolutely, Sean. It was a blast getting to meet Rob Dibble Saturday night as a guest player at the XL Center and a former Major League Baseball player, a guy that's been in TV, in sports radio, and currently hosting his own show, The Rob Dibble Show, 3 to 7 p.m. in Hartford, Connecticut, 979 ESPN. And you can listen worldwide, the iHeartRadio app.
Now, you know, Sean, he said he made the right decision as far as playing baseball from basketball. But what, man, such a nice – he's got a nice physique, man. I'm thinking that he could have played some NFL football. So, yeah, man, so, that, you know, that's it was great to have Rob Dibble on. And, man, we look forward to it. I'd like to have him on again at some point.
Absolutely, Sean. And when we get back, we'll talk about the rest of the sports world, the NFL free agency, what you're about to do in the next few days. Coming up here next on The Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com. Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest, I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. you guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Same studio in Hartford, Connecticut. Sean, what's going on?
Well, man, we're preparing to leave first thing in the morning, taking a trip down, actually going south towards Maryland, man. So that should be a lot of fun. Hitting towns like Salisbury and Richmond, Virginia in the next few days. So, you know, it should be fun.
So, Sean, what have you learned in the past week as you've been training to be a public address announcer for a famous basketball team wearing the red, white, and blue?
I thought that I was going to learn some things, and I did learn things as far as being a PA announcer, the techniques, certain things to say. I knew that those things were coming. One of the other things that I learned is I learned the camaraderie. I learned about the family. I learned about the cohesiveness of actually putting on a show, getting a chance to be around the players, the staff, and understanding that there is a heartfelt need and desire to be the best show that we could possibly be. And there's a lot of energy put into it. There's a lot of zeal put into it. And there's a lot of feeling. It's not just something that, you know, you do just to pass the time as a job. This is serious for us, as a group, as an organization, to bring fun into the hearts of the people that come out to our show. And man, it's serious business, but once we put it out on the floor, it is the greatest show that you could ever see, and that's what I'm excited about.
So this coming Thursday, you will leave not only the state of Virginia, but the country of the United States, and end up in Puerto Rico to begin your own tour with the great basketball team that wears red, white, and blue.
Well, man, I mean, they are a part of the United States. And so, you know, it's going to be fun to get out there to Puerto Rico. And, you know, I hear the climate is a lot different. And first, East Coast here, it's been a lot of snow. It's been cold. Every time we step outside, it's around 35 to 40 degrees. I do look forward to getting over to San Juan, Puerto Rico, where I hear that it's about 80 degrees and a lot of sunshine and, you know, just a different culture. And so that's going to be a lot of fun because not everybody gets a chance to leave the state, let alone leave the country. And so this is going to be fun.
So, Sean, you are embarking in what is your rookie venture with the Harlem Globetrotters as a public address announcer. You've done public address for high school basketball, football, even Pee Wee League football. What did that teach you compared to what you're learning now in a professional rank?
Well, you know, Rob touched on this a little bit as far as, you know, growing up and just understanding what your passion is and understanding what your desire is. Something that I've always wanted to do, Sean. Ever since I was little, I can remember, you know, just, you know, talking and building podiums and wanting to speak to thousands and speak to millions. You know, there's a preacher side in me, and my mom would be able to tell you that I used to go downstairs in the basement and pull all our stuffed animals together. I would put them into little chairs, and my dad had a guitar amplifier, and I set that up as my podium. And I would just continue to give messages and speak out loud and everything. And so I believe that all my life, it's prepared me for where I am today. And the difference between what I've done, you know, at the high school levels, the collegiate levels, to where I am now or where we are now, is, as I had mentioned before, the passion that everybody has to put a great show together with the Harlem Globetrotters makes this a dynamic show. And everybody has that strong passion. So when you become part of the group, you don't want to be the weakest link. And so the key is, you know, not to do that. And so you wind up going over your lines, you wind up going over the script because you want to make sure that this is spectacular for everybody all around. And so that's what I'm learning so far.
Now, Sean, I'm definitely a little bit envious that you're heading to Puerto Rico for your initial voyage on your first tour with the Red, White, and Blue basketball team. Yet, I also would like to know, you've got coaching in your blood, in your pedigree. Head basketball coach for girls at Clover Park High School in Lakewood, Washington. Of course, you've got sports up and down your lineage. How is Coach Sean Wally doing with the World All-Stars?
You know, for those of you our listeners who haven't gotten out to see this famous red, white, and blue team that Sean Wally is talking about, get out there and see. And if Sean Wally is in your town, you're going to get a chance to see some greatness as far as coaching is concerned. And what I mean by that is there's a huge passion. There's a huge belief that this team is actually going to be that next team. And so, you know, if you ever could circle it on your calendar, definitely do that because, man, you do an awesome job and you're believable. You're definitely believable. And so that's one of the things for me as a head coach, because you mentioned, you know, my head coaching prowess. My biggest concern as a head coach was that I had to be believable. And what I mean by that is you can tell your kids or you can tell your team anything, but it has to come off believable. They have into it, then your record winds up being this or your record winds up being that. You just have to be a great salesman. And doggone it, Sean Wally, you do an awesome job on that, and I got to give it to you.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, and hopefully you got a chance to see us on ESPN and ESPN2 and even ESPN Deportes for those that would like the Spanish version of the Harlem Globetrotters 90th celebration. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. And all I can say is have a blast on your tour in Puerto Rico and up and down the East Coast, along with your MC, JJ. You guys are going to be a great tandem. And just soak it all up. Be a sponge and learn what you can and inflect your own
little pinches of this and that to make it your own and have a great time.
Well, you know, that's the best thing. Of course, JJ and I have been working feverishly to make sure that we're putting on a great show. And just to tell you about that camaraderie, you know, me being from California, JJ being from North Carolina, you know, it's there are two different cultures, but at the same time, we're understanding the commonalities on how important it is to put on this great show. And I can't begin to tell you, Sean, it's going to be awesome. And I look forward to working with JJ and doing some other things, you know, down the road, but it's going to be special, man.
So, yes, it is college basketball time for sure. The conference tournaments are about to begin in the next couple weeks, and we'll see whether or not the Huskies, the Cougars, Stanford, and the Bay Area teams can make it into the NCAA tournament. And it is a great time of year. The NCAA March Madness is upon us for the next few weeks. Don't know whether or not our schedules will align to whether or not we can be on the double, 7 p.m. Pacific every Monday night. If not, hey, you've got almost 3 years of shows from 2013 forward. So definitely check out all of our shows, bbsradio.com/DSX, as well as you can find us on iTunes.
Yes, Sean, this has been a great show for us. And of course, we're looking to always bring you on the double with the Double S Express. And as Sean Wally was mentioning, we look forward to these shows. You can also catch us on those websites, and you can also catch us on Twitter as well. Man, it's been a great show, Mr. Wally, as always. And of course, we've got people that are coming around and they want to talk with us a little bit more. So, man, it's been an awesome show once again. And looking at, as a matter of fact, the next time that you hear from me, listeners, it's going to be probably from Puerto Rico. I'm looking forward to this one, man. Again, a great show. As we always say here on the double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. We thank guest Rob Dibble for being on from ESPN Radio 97.9 in Hartford. For Sean Wally and Sean Boyd here in Manchester, Connecticut. Man, you've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.